My name is Leela. I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA, and since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature person, Michael C. and Sue, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and/or understanding. Jen will read the preamble.
Hi, my name is Jen, and I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Harry will read the steps.
Hi, my name is Harry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Harry.
1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Eleanor will read the traditions.
Hi, I'm Eleanor, and I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Jared.
Hi, I'm Jared. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the Atlanta group. My sponsor's name is Michael. I'm working steps 9 through 12, and my sobriety date is November 2nd, 2004. And I just want to thank Mark for asking me to speak this morning. There's nothing like that as your first phone call of the day to get things rolling. So I just, you know, I believe that I was born an alcoholic. You know, when I was a kid, I was a very angry, you know, there was nothing wrong. I had 2 great parents. I had a house over my head. I never went hungry. I pretty much got everything, you know, a kid needs, education, food, clothes, you know, love, whatever it was, it wasn't good enough for me. I recently was at a Thanksgiving dinner for my family, which is a miracle in itself, and there, I had 2 little cousins. We all had to go. There was probably like 15 people at the table, and we had to go around the room and say what we were grateful for, and I just thought that was very funny. But anyway, I had 2 cousins. Maybe they were 6 and 10, and they both said that they were grateful for all the stuff they got or have. And, you know, I sit there, and I turn to my friend who's sober, and I was like, you know, I don't even think I knew the word grateful before I got sober, because that just, I was not grateful for anything I had in my life. Every birthday I would get a great present. The present wasn't good enough. I would have a tantrum and tell my parents they should, you know, jump out of like, I was an awful, awful child, and no one knew what was wrong with me. And there was really, you know, I found out that it was alcoholism. Anyway, I go to, you know, school. I try to fit in with, you know, the cool kids. And I always tell this story when I speak just to give you let you know how my disease worked in certain circumstances. I remember, you know, someone said, do you smoke cigarettes? I was probably like 12, 13. And I was like, oh, I was like, of course. Like, I just quit, but I'm going to start again tomorrow. And, I had never tried a cigarette, and I went home that day, and I ordered in cigarettes from the deli, and I went into my stairwell, and I had 1, like, drag of a cigarette, and I started coughing and threw up. And, you know, most people would stop smoking. You know, they would never try to do that again. And I sat there and smoked, you know, the whole pack until I could smoke like a normal person. And then that was that. That was at like 12, so if you can imagine, by 15, it wasn't a real pretty sight. I started drinking and, you know, going to, you know, hang out with the kids that were like the bad kids or whatever, and I didn't. It didn't really hit me that alcohol was my solution to the problem yet. I knew that I remember the first time I really got drunk, besides maybe just a sip here and there through parents' alcohol, I was in Mexico, and I was probably like 14, and I met some kids in the lobby of the hotel, and, you know, they were like, oh, how old are you? I was like 21, and I went to a bar with them, and, you know, I was really, really nervous. I was, you know, I was in my head, like, what are they going to think? Do they think I'm cool? I'm trying to, you know, make up all these stories to make them think I'm, like, this grand, you know, person. And I'm like, oh, it's time to order a drink. And I had never ordered a drink at a bar before. So I'm, you know, I'd watched Cruel Intentions, and I ordered a Long Island iced tea. And then I thought that you had to order different drinks to show people you knew different drinks. So I'm... I had a Long Island iced tea, a rum and coke, a Jack and like, I mean, it was just like, I was like, oh, Corona. Like, it was just like, I was throwing whatever I could in me. And maybe after, this was all in a matter of probably 30 minutes. And I was very intoxicated, and the room started to spin. I'm in a foreign country with people I met 5 minutes before. And, you know, the room is starting to spin, and I start to feel a little nauseous. And, you know, most people wouldn't think to go to the bar and get another drink. And, you know, that was just my thought. You know, I didn't, that was where my disease took me. And so long story short, I don't know how I got back to the hotel, but these people, I'm so lucky that they, you know, took me back, and I woke up in the hallway outside my room the next day in a pile of throw up. And my parents were like, oh, so you learned your lesson. I was like, yeah, I had to fly back to New York that day. I was a mess. It was terrible. And, you know, most people wouldn't drink like that again. And I just, you know, I didn't really think much of it. I was like, oh, I'm, you know, I just need to learn how to drink normally. That was my goal for the next, you know, however many years before I got sober. And so I basically spent that much time trying to do that. And then I realized I had a problem. It wasn't fun for me anymore. Anytime I had one drink, I would end up in the same place as I did, you know, the night before, where I said I would never want to end up. Once I had one, you know, I was like, okay, I'm just going to have one tonight. I would have one, you know, this feels great. This is such a relief. I might as well just have one more. And then, you know, that felt a little bit better. I might as well just have one more. And then I'm in the same place, this, you know, again and again and again. And it was pretty awful. I couldn't show up to school. I couldn't really do anything. I remember the last time I spoke at this group, actually, I was coming from my graduation of school, and I had stopped going to school for maybe a year before I spoke here, and it was a one-credit pass or fail class that met once a month, and I could not, no homework, and I could not pass it, and I didn't graduate with my graduating class, and because I just couldn't show up to school, you know, once a month. And that's where my disease, you know, took me. Today, I'm not that person at all. You know, I wake up every morning and I call my sponsor as much as I, you know, that's been a huge thing for me, but I'll get into that in a second. So anyway, you know, one day I just decided I could not live like that anymore. I didn't know what to do. I've never heard of AA. I never heard of any 12-step programs. And I just knew that I had a cool friend who went to rehab. So, you know, I should call my mom and have her arrange that. And so I called my mom, and she was like, oh, Jared, you know, I don't think you have an alcohol or drug problem. You know, you're too young. Like, you should just really eat more and, you know, be healthy, and we'll send you to a nutritionist and everything will be fine. And I basically told her what I had done for the last 7 days in a row, and I was in detox that next morning. And I got there, and of course I immediately compared myself to everyone there. I didn't want anything to do with them. Everyone was too old, too this, too that. You know, I was 16 when I went to detox. And I thought, you know, that was the first time I had an AA meeting. And the guy, it was his first time speaking at an AA meeting. Actually, he spoke in the detox, and he was sweating and shaking. And he was a cab driver, and he was talking about driving drunk with the people in the car and getting, like, all these crazy stories. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Like, I'm definitely not going to AA when I'm back. After 4 days of detox, I was, you know, I looked great. I wasn't gray or green anymore. You know, I could think a little bit clearly. And I called my parents. I said, I think I should go home and I'll register in an outpatient program. I spent 6 months in an outpatient program. I got 90 days. I didn't go to one meeting, and I used that place as, you know, I took it for whatever I could. I didn't know any better. And I was sitting in a room with a bunch of people that did not identify as an alcoholic or an addict. They would say, my drug of choice is this, you know, is alcohol or this or that. And that was all I knew. And anyway, I found myself with a set of circumstances that I used to drink over, and I ended up relapsing that night, and I literally ended up in the same place I did the night before I had gone to detox, like the same people, was doing the same things at the same place. And I was like, how could this happen, you know? And I didn't know what to do, and I found someone, you know, through, which I now know is a miracle, through God working in my life, took me to the Atlanta group, and that was October 22nd, 2004. And I didn't really have clear guidance, and I was drinking a bottle of NyQuil a night for the first 2 weeks. So that's why my date is November 2nd, 2004. And I got a sponsor, and because I was told that that's what you needed to do, and I did not want to drink again. So I did what I was told to do. And I, you know, when I remember sitting in that beginner's meeting, and Eleanor was chairing it, and you were talking about the Bill W. dance and, you know, doing things sober and going to a party sober and, you know, doing anything sober. And I was just like, you know, I had to learn everything. All my experiences growing up were not sober. I had no sober experiences. So if you're new in this room, a very wise person told me that someone without a drinking problem does not end up in AA. If you're here and you're debating, you know, back and forth, get a sponsor, come, show up. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what you do. You know, that's something that's very important with me, especially in my life today. I had a million things going on, you know, today and stuff to do tonight and this and that. I showed up because this is what I'm here for. If I didn't have AA, I wouldn't have anything else. I put this as my commitment today, and I'm here to help the newcomers. So if you need any help, you know, talk to me after the meeting. I love to talk to you, and thank you so much for my sobriety.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Liz.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Liz, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 5th, 2003. The Atlantic Group is my home group. My sponsor's name is Kelly, and I'm working steps 9 through 12. And I guess I'm just going to share with you, you know, what it was like for me and what happened and what it's like today. I'm from Northern California. I grew up in Berkeley, and from a pretty young age, I was always a really shy little kid, and I think when I hit like middle school, I started feeling like I just didn't fit in with my friends anymore. I went to a really small school, and some of my friends at that point like started smoking pot and shoplifting and stuff, and I always thought of myself as like this really good little girl. You know, like I was well-intentioned, like, you know, my teachers liked me, my friends' parents liked me, and it just didn't sit well with me. But I slowly found myself growing apart from these people, and it was a really uncomfortable feeling. And when I went to high school, I entered this class with all these new people, and I felt uncomfortable once again. I really didn't know how to interact with these people, how to make friends. And at some point early my freshman year, I wound up at my best friend's house with, you know, a group of girls, and her parents were out of town. So I really don't know whose idea this was, but we went down to her basement and took a bottle of her parents' wine, which I now know was a pretty expensive bottle of wine, but I didn't know that at the time. And we passed around this bottle of wine. And I didn't actually drink enough at that point to really get drunk. But I found this sense of companionship in drinking with people. And so, you know, from then on, I really took whatever opportunity I could to join people, to go party, and to drink. I think the first time I like actually got drunk, I remember this really well. It was a horrible night. I went to this upperclassman party with a couple of friends of mine, and I took a bunch of shots of Bacardi 151. And I never knew how to drink, by the way. I should say that I never really knew what was going to happen when I picked up a drink, in the sense that, you know, I didn't know if I was, you know, going to like feel anything and just get sick, or if, you know, I was going to like get to the perfect drunk and then wind up somewhere, you know, passed out. I also didn't know, you know, if I was going to be able to stop at one beer or keep going until, you know, I'd reached my limit. And so this night at this party, took a bunch of 151 and blacked out, and found myself in a situation that was a really, you know, uncomfortable situation that I couldn't get myself out of in the end. And, you know, the next day at school, like, rumors about this whole party, like, were spread around school, and I was really ashamed of, like, my behavior and all these things. And, but I remember this, like, you know, 3 minutes or something when, you know, before everything got bad, when I felt free. For once I felt like I could interact with these people. They were like, you know, these really scary upperclassmen in high school. And I felt like, you know, they were my friends and I could talk to them and I could be funny and I could flirt and like all these things that I couldn't do on a normal, you know, when I was sober. And I think that most people having had a really scary and negative experience on their first drunk might not, you know, pick up alcohol again, but I just kept at it, searching for that, you know, sense of freedom that I found in that first few minutes. So when I was 18, I came to New York for school. And from the beginning, there were problems. I had started at this point to live my life in a way that I really wasn't proud of. I started lowering standards for my behavior. I had gotten put on probation in high school, academic probation for drinking. And, I wasn't really the good little girl anymore, and it was really shocking when I finally realized that. But I came to college, and by the end of orientation, I had, you know, made a couple new friends, and I had already damaged these friendships. We went drinking, and my behavior became inappropriate. It's really interesting. Like on page 52 in the big book, it talks about the bedevilments, and it talks about, thank you, having problems with personal relationships and being prey to misery and depression, having a sense of uselessness, and those were all feelings at that point in all aspects of my life. At some point, freshman year of college is when things got pretty bad. And by the end of my first year, I couldn't function. I wasn't making it to my summer job. My friends actually, staged a little intervention on me about actually my drug use. And the first thing I did when they brought it up was I went to, the fridge and got out the six-pack, started drinking. And I got to the point where I was so miserable that I actually attempted suicide. So I was put in a psychiatric ward for a week. And this is around the time that my parents found out about what I'd been up to. And, when I was in the hospital and then afterwards, I was sent to these groups where they tried to basically talk to us. It wasn't AA, but it was, there were groups about substance abuse. So I had all the answers for, how to not drink. I was like, find a hobby, stay away from the people that you spent time with. Like, I could raise my hand and answer these people when they asked, but I was definitely not putting it into practice. And in early October of my sophomore year of college, my parents ended up sending me to rehab. And at the time, I fought it, I was kicking and screaming. But when I actually went, I remember driving down to the treatment center with my mom, just feeling a sense of peace, knowing that things were going to be okay. One of the really great things about this treatment center was that's where I learned about this program. And I was in treatment for 30 days first, and I went to my first outside meeting. And I saw these people, and they looked happy, and they looked so at peace in a way that I really, the peace that I sought with my drinking, I saw in their faces. And I saw that people actually, lived in the outside world and went to AA and functioned, and it was amazing to me. I didn't actually start working program, though. I got sober, and I went to meetings, but I found mainly just a group of friends that I spent time with, and things didn't get better. I mean, they got better on the surface level. I wasn't blacking out and doing things that I couldn't remember anymore. But I'm an alcoholic, and when I put down the drink, my life doesn't get better. I still have alcoholism, so I got pretty miserable and started acting out in all sorts of ways, and shoplifted for the first time in sobriety, Well, I was really lucky. When I had 6 months sober, I moved back to New York. And just by the grace of God, a friend, an acquaintance actually at the time, gave me the phone number of someone in this group who I called. For some reason, you know, when I got here, I called her and she brought me to this meeting. And that's really when things started to change in my life because, you know, she told me that there was a 12-step solution to the problems that I was having and read me the 9-step promises, which, you know, I went to rehab. I got sober simply to, you know, please my parents originally and just to stop drinking. But I found so much more than that here. I found the solution to life. You know, what I really found was this guidebook that that leads me to a life beyond my wildest dreams. Like, practicing these steps. Thank you. Yeah, it's truly a miracle. I just want to encourage, you know, the newcomer who's sitting here, you know, debating about whether or not they're an alcoholic, to just try to, you know, identify with the feelings. I didn't drink every day. I thought that meant that I wasn't an alcoholic. But I have found that, you know, this program works as a solution to my problem. And it really has miraculous results. So thank you very much.